And joining us on the book club today is Lauren Metling. Lauren has written for the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Vanity Fair, Slate, the New Yorker, Online, and Vogue, where she writes a book column. She's worked as a crime reporter, metro columnist for the New York Sun, a young adult novelist, and a features editor at the Wall Street Journal. She's a graduate of Harvard College. She lives in Brooklyn with her husband and two children. The novel we're going to discuss today is How Could She? Lauren, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
And correct me, did I mess up your last name? I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. It's Metling.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay,
yeah, so thank you for getting it right.
A lot, as I read here, you have a pretty impressive resume. So let's talk a little bit about when you were growing up, were you always interested in writing and reading? How did this come about?
Yes, I can't think of a hobby that I had other than writing and reading when I was a kid. I my mother says that she has, that's what I did. I would sit at a little table and I was tiny and write stories. And it sort of clicked in a more serious way. In high school, I went to a school in Brooklyn where, in a very informal capacity, writers would come through and visit and do little, readings and talks. And our teachers would, have met a writer at a party or something and invite them to come in. And it was seeing writers, like capital W writers, in the flesh and in the imperfect, kind, shy, or, disheveled flesh made me see that it seemed more possible to me. And so that was sort of in the back of my head as I kept going. And I've always been writing, going back and forth between journalism and fiction, two things that I love.
Now, this novel that I mentioned at the beginning of the program, How Could She, is your debut novel, but as an adult novel, because you are a writer, as I mentioned before. And how hard is it to kind of switch from young adults writing a column and then doing this?
Mm-hmm. It was hard in that I didn't think it was possible, but my thinking it wasn't possible made it possible in the sense that I really just let it all out in terms of my writing this book. I was not thinking about, an editor who I didn't have yet. I wasn't thinking about a market. I didn't have any sense of what was going to happen. I did not feel confident that I was going to write an adult novel and become an adult novelist. I thought, I love writing. That's who I am. And that's what I care the most about other than, the people who I love. And there were feelings and sentiments and observations. I I'm a promiscuous reader. So this was a very dedicated experiment. And I think I didn't really follow the rules. It's a weird book. It's different from a lot of books, but I let myself write what I wanted to write. I was free.
Basically, what I want to say is perhaps, correct me if I'm wrong, it's about a friendship among girls, women.
Yes, and in that way, it is completely normal. I mean, that's like that's the most shared theme and experience. I think anyone who, you don't even have to be a woman. I think friendship is a great mystery and obsession to us all.
Some of these things, that even from the very beginning of the book, when you write about the lady who is taking everybody's shampoo and everything else, I mean, it's already from there. Yes. And then when you're describing the scene, what you're there, you're talking about this grapefruit, and well, I'll let you talk about that.
The grapefruit, okay.
Yes,
the grapefruit was the first line. I think the first line was, I don't know if it's Geraldine Despont or just said Geraldine considered her grapefruit or considered a grapefruit. It was just this image of one of the three most, Geraldine considered her grapefruit. So we start with Geraldine, who's one of the three women that the story is about, and I would say she is really the heroine and the central beating heart of the story. And she is a sort of an overthinker and also a little spaced out to the realities of, and the pragmatic realities of life. So we start with her. She's in not only her apartment. She's in an apartment that her very successful friend, Sunny, has abandoned because Sunny has moved on from Toronto to New York to become essentially an influencer. She's a very sophisticated influencer. She's a watercolor artist who has a name for herself and married to this very successful hotel developer. And, you know, she's on the scene and life is good. And she gets to do all these collaborations with, you know, companies that have money and prestige. And she's friends with all these interesting people that she collects. Anyway, Geraldine is subletting Sunny's apartment. Geraldine is not, she's lost when we first meet her. She's 36, still traumatized by the abandonment by her fiance that she was supposed to marry 4 years ago. She's living with this very sweet fellow who she worked with once upon a time, but now this guy, he has this really annoying girlfriend, basically moved into the apartment. And then things get worse in the very first chapter. They, the three of them end up watching TV, and over the course of just trying to hang out, Geraldine is told that her sweet roommate Barrett and his girlfriend are actually about to move out. And they're, you know, they're moving on and they're growing. And this has happened to Geraldine several times before, where she starts to feel like she runs a boarding house for lost souls until they get their act together. So that's where we start. And I feel like that actually encapsulates the flavor of the book in that it's sad and it's funny.
We're visiting with Lauren Mecklin. She is the author of the book, How Could She? As you just mentioned, the friendships of these women and their Rachel, Sunny, and Geraldine. And as you write about this, and as you wrote about this, excuse me, did you find yourself identifying with either of these women, or kind of bringing down, putting in pieces together from past friendships, saying like, well, you know, I remember somebody that used to do this or somebody did that. So you kind of combined some of those to create these characters.
Sure. I mean, that's what we do. We're like vacuum cleaners, writers. We suck up bits of information and inspiration from anywhere. So for instance, part of the Geraldine, you know, part of her is based on me. When I was in my early 30s, I was living with people who kept moving out of an apartment that I had my name on the lease. And every time my room, it just became, you know, at first it'd be a roommate who stayed with me for a year or 2 years. And then the chapters just became, started to move by in a flurry where people kept telling me within a few months, okay, well, now that I've come to New York and gotten my bearings, and the guy who I moved here for, or the woman I moved here for, and I are, you know, it's really happening, you know, see ya. So that, yes, and the emotions of the book is, you know, very emotionally intense and out there. And the emotions are reflective of my own rainbow of emotions. So, it's not a fictionalized depiction of something in real life. You know, it's not like The Devil Wears Prada, where it's very clear who the editor-in-chief is. It's more, a scramble of things along the way.
You talk about the fact that it's a very emotional novel, and it is. But at the same time, your wit, your humor, and it's pretty sharp humor that you insert in there, it helps a little bit with the emotional stress or whatever you may be doing when you're reading.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I get through life. I am a huge fan of humor and not taking oneself too seriously. And because I, of course, do take myself too seriously, and it's my coping mechanism. And yes, I talk about, I think it would just be too heavy and dull if this were, you know, just a depiction of the ways that women can, you know, not be 100%, dreamy to one another. So I wanted, you know, this book to be enjoyable to read. And for me, enjoyable doesn't mean descriptions of, you know, fancy houses in Malaysia. It's wit.
We're visiting with author Lauren Mecklin. She is the author of the novel, How Could She? I mentioned at the beginning of the program that you also have written some young adult novels, and We're starting to see a growing market for young adult novels, and it's no longer children's books or juvenile, but and I even have found that a lot of adults also enjoy reading young adult novels. So from that perspective, tell us a little bit about some of the books that you wrote for young adults.
Okay, so I devoured young adult novels as a young adult or an old child. And then in my early adulthood, I came across the new crop of young adult novels, which was suddenly, you know, edgy. And it was very different from what they had in the Brooklyn Public Library in the 80s. It was, this was the rise of Gossip Girl. And suddenly, you know, kids behaving badly or behaving like adults. I learned about this new wave by, I was assigned an article by a newspaper in London, and they asked me to go and meet the writer of Gossip Girl. And to prepare for that, I read several of her books, and I found them funny, and they reminded me a lot of some, you know, classic novel, like Edith Wharton, Henry James, you know, sort of comedies, but also tragedies about ambition. And anyway, I end up writing a few based not in the Upper East Side of New York, but more about sort of Brooklyn, a different flavor. And they were, the humor was a little different. I wrote them with my friend Laura Moser. And I continued to write young adult fiction for a decade. And I'm not totally sure where the market is right now. I haven't been as tuned into it, but there was definitely a shift during my time there, where, you know, realistic comedies were all well and good. And, you know, I was writing young adult novels during the rise of the vampire books and the fantasy books, which is something I admire from a distance, but I don't have it in me. It's I have tried to poor turnout. So I pivoted to write a comedy/tragedy about people who I was suddenly closer in age to. You know, when I started writing YA, I was essentially grown, you know, a big teenager. And now I'm, you know, a grown-up.
As far as the topics and some of the issues, some of the younger adult novels from previous 70s, 80s, some of the ones that we see now, somebody who picks up on a young adult novel and they've never read one before or haven't in a while, they'll say, my gosh, I'm shocked at some of these things that these children are exposed to, because there are very different issues now.
Yeah, but when I was, you know, the age of, you know, when I was in, let's say, 10th, 11th grade, and there weren't those sorts of, I mean, they had issue-driven novels, like there'd be a novel about drunk driving or a novel about inclusion or racism, but they were a little more earnest. But I pivoted away and I started reading, it was similar. I started reading very edgy adult books. I read Reddy Sinellis, Less Than Zero, and Mary Gateskill, who writes these amazing short stories about, you know, women leading very dark lives on the fringes of New York City and engaging in some very risky behaviors. So I feel like throughout, there isn't this new exposure that kids are getting. It's more that the young adult market is just sort of meeting them where they're at, I think. They don't have to raid their mother's bookshelf to find something that will, you know, titillate them and teach them. It's now, it's okay, you know, the ages of the protagonists could be closer to their ages.
And a lot of these young adult novels, Turtles All the Way Down or Upside Down, I forgot the name of that book.
That's the John Green book.
Yes. And a lot of these are being turned into movies, and it draws, of course, young adults, but also adults coming in. And so it's opening up the genre to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, one of the best movies I don't think it's adapted from a book, but Booksmart is based, you know, it's a young adult story. It's about two best friends in high school. But yes, people of all ages are meeting in the teen market.
We're visiting with Laura Meckling. Laura is the author of the recent novel, How Could She? I mentioned at the beginning of the interview also that some of the things that you've done, and you've done a lot of things, but one of the things that you worked as is a crime reporter. And so I'm wondering, how does doing the crime reporting blend in with some of the books you've written?
It doesn't at all. It was, it was the, you could say it was the brilliant or terrible idea of my editor at the time. I was working at the New York Sun, which, may it rest in peace, was a sort of a wonderful newspaper training ground for, I think the oldest any reporter there was 25. And the Seth Lipsky, who was the editor-in-chief publisher, I think he thought I was a funny writer, and he thought it would be interesting to bring me into, you know, outside of the world that I had been writing about, which was a little more close to home. I was writing more about, like, lifestyle and, you know, the way we live now in New York City. And he put me, I had an office. It's called The Shack. It's a place, it's a big office in one police plaza in downtown New York where every crime writer has a desk. And it was incredible. I was part of this pack of, you know, we were vultures for, you know, disasters. And, you know, I was interacting with, you know, veteran newspaper reporters and also interacting with members of the police department and trying to figure out how to get information out of people. It was a terrific experience. And it was a short-lived experience, which, looking back, I think, you know, I think I was placed back, and then I was writing columns that were more personality-driven, and I was working for a while on kind of sort of more in a middle ground, where I think my beat was like local politicians and hanging out with them and doing, you know, sort of human interest stories about who these characters were.
Things have changed so much in the world of literature books, because now not only do we have the books, but we have books on tape, audiobooks, we have podcasts,
yeah,
social media,
yeah,
on your phone, on your Kindle, whatever. So tell us a little bit about how that impacted your, because it is meant, podcasts are mentioned, and how could she?
Yeah, well, on one point regarding that, I felt very competitive with the world around me. I think it's tougher to write a novel that people will actually stick with, because there's so many other ways to get information and to get stories and to entertain yourself with words or narrative. So given the, you know, the excess of options, you know, in our telephones, I was very careful to make my scenes very, you know, concise, and sort of, and I try to capture the fun that you have, or I have, reading things on my phone or exchanging text messages with a friend, because I thought that was what would not only keep readers reading, but would keep me writing. So I really incorporated the way we communicate now as part of the story. There's a lot of characters learning about each other from, you know, looking at their social media accounts, and it's like we're all detectives. I mean, in life, we're all detectives now, because we are constantly sort of watching each other and surveilling each other, and we're privy to elements of people's lives and calendars that used to be just off limits to us. And podcasting is a personal, not podcasting, listening to podcasts is a huge pleasure for me. It's kind of my biggest hobby, and I'm so fascinated by the ways that we are able to tell stories and communicate, you know, both the way that people within podcasts talk to each other, and, you know, it's a conversational banter that I find less and less present just in real life when we have our phones, but also hearing stories in our heads and walking around, you know, it's sort of like radio, but on demand. And I, as a novelist, I was looking at the possibilities of how expressing herself, Geraldine, through a podcast that she starts, she's able to kind of let out her demons, and she's also able to send smoke signals to the friends who she's not really talking to anymore. So it was a marriage of my own hobby and, you know, a plotting device. It was very fun.
Because, as you mentioned, we can have these things on demand. There are also, books are now going to audio. So while we have an imagination, we read a book and we're imagining what that character looks like, when you hear the audible audio version of your book, this one in particular, it changes everything, because the narrator, the way it's said, the way it's described, it paints a different picture.
Yeah, I find, for whatever reason, listening to audiobooks, it's I found different kinds of stories or different books really lend themselves to that sort of ingestion. Rachel Kushner is an incredible novelist, and she wrote this very intense atmospheric novel called The Flamethrowers, which I had the pleasure of listening to as an audio book. And it just kind of, when you are taking a book in that way, it really penetrates deeply. You're completely subsumed in the atmosphere and in the flavor of the words. And for the first time in my life, it was incredible. I received an email, months ago from the audiobook producer with different clips of different voices. And I was asked to chime in on whose voice I thought worked the best with the book I've written. And I'm so excited to hear the audiobook or hear parts of it, if not the whole thing. But yes, people have been telling me the day my book published, a friend of mine came to my launch reading and said, I've been listening to the audiobook all day. And that's not something you would have heard before.
We've been visiting with Lauren Mecklin. Lauren is the author of the book, How Could She? A novel. Lauren, is there a particular page, a website that you would direct our listeners to find out more about your books?
Sure. I have a website, laurenmeckling.com, and I update that with books and also with my journalism.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was fun talking to you.
Thank you. We've been visiting with Lauren Mecklin. Lauren is the author of the book, How Could She? And this is available in audio as well. Podcasts are out there, everything available. Lauren Mecklin, that's M-E-C-H-L-I-N-G. Thank you, Lauren. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Sam Cassiano. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.